They don't know if they are a woman or a man. Many simply cannot explain what a woman is. But what makes a person who they are? Is it what we have convinced ourselves that we are? You know, I'm not trying to be cruel or any such thing as that. But when people have a difficulty identifying themselves as either male or female, but they identify as some other object or some other living creature, I'm convinced that they are living in a delusional state of mind. And I think that the sad thing about all of this is they expect you to go along with their delusion. And they are offended if you try to help them to realize that they're not a cat or a dog or a goldfish or some other inanimate object. So what makes a person who they are, and how do they identify themselves? And along with all the things that I've already stated, there are people even today who choose to identify themselves by all of the wrong things. Some people define themselves by their dress, what they wear, their talents, their family, their possessions, their achievements, and even their church. Many of us are trying to be someone that God didn't create us to be. If we are a man trying to be a woman, that is not what God created you to be. Or if you are a woman trying to be a man, that is not what God has created you to be. We lose ourselves in our identity and trivial things instead of finding our identity in Christ Jesus. Our identity in Christ transforms who we are. So the first thing I'd like for us to notice this evening in this identity crisis, in Christ, we can identify today as being freed. Take your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 through verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1 through verse 5. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ, for by grace you are saved. When we look at these verses, especially when we look at the word where it talks about in verse 3, among whom also we all have our conversation. Again, that's not speech. Literally here, it has the idea of how we conduct ourselves. It's how we live our lives. So when we look at this verse, among whom also we all had our lives or our conduct in times past, we lived by the lust of the flesh. But now, we are freed. So in Christ, we can say that we have, we can identify it as free people. Before Christ, we were no different than the rest of the world. But God has rescued us, as we see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul writes, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Delivered. Literally, the word there is rescued. We have been rescued from our sins. And we look at the word power. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Literally, the authority of darkness. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Brothers and sisters, we've been freed. We can identify as free people. God, through his Son, rescued us and moved us into to his kingdom. How do I know this? Luke tells us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Do you realize that the church is a freed people? Think about that. The church is made up of a free people. We in Christ, we can identify ourselves as being a free people. Without God's intervention, we would still be lost in darkness, under the authority of darkness. If we're going to identify ourselves, let us identify ourselves correctly. We are a free people. Secondly, in Christ, we can identify as having a Father. Again, take your Bibles, open to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 3 through verse 6. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3. "But be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will." God predestined that all those in Christ would be adopted as his children, as sons and daughters. In Christ, we can identify as having a Father. Our adoption as a child of God is conditional. John writes in John chapter 1 and verse 12, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power," literally authority, "to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Isn't it great that even though we are free from sin, we have a Father in heaven who loves us and cares for us? But that child, being a child of God is conditional. We have to be in Christ in order to be a child of God. You know, I've said this before, and I think I even said it this morning. Many people claim to be a child of God, but yet they're not in Christ. Yeah, they believe in God, they believe in Christ, but yet they've not obeyed the gospel. They've not sought the correct way for the forgiveness of sin. Yes, we can identify as having a Father in Christ and only in Christ. Thirdly, in Christ we can identify as a family. As a family, we talked a little bit today about, this morning, about family. Take your Bibles again and look in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 11. Hebrews chapter 2. Start reading in verse 11 through verse 19. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. In Christ, we all have access to the Father by one Spirit. In Christ, no matter how big or small our physical family may be, we have an extended family, the family of God's people. That's each and every one of us. And our brothers and sisters all throughout the world. We are one family in God. We can identify in Christ. We can identify as a family in Christ, the family of God. We don't ever have to be alone, because in Christ we have a family. And lastly, in Christ we can identify as being forgiven. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 7 through 10. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, or moral insight, having made known unto us the mysteries of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in the heavens and which are on earth, even in him. God has removed our sins far from us. Psalms chapter 103, starting in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. In other words, there's going to be a day of reckoning. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God has so far removed our sins from us that we really cannot comprehend what he's done. I like it when it says here that as far as the east is from the west, so far he hath removed our transgressions from us. We know that the east is east and west is west. And you remember the rest of it? And never the twain shall meet. When God removes our sins, it is removed and our transgressions are wiped away. God remembers our sins how many times? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I will remember no more. Too many times we as Christians, we believe that God is so great and powerful, that he is so busy with all the things going on in the world that he simply does not have time to listen to us. God is so busy, he'll never be able to forgive me because he just does not have the time to worry about little old me. Brothers and sisters, if that's your mentality, then you are thinking wrong. The Hebrew writer here says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I will remember no more. We talked about this a little bit this morning. Once God has forgiven us, he does not say, well, I remember when. Because it says here that he remembers them no more. As Christians, our identity is found in Christ alone, not in what we believe our identity should be. Jesus is the only one who can offer us an identity that can never be taken away. I hope this lesson has helped us to understand that in Christ we have our sins forgiven. We're a family. In Christ we have all of the spiritual blessings. And in Christ we have a hope of heaven. So this evening, if you're here and if you're in need of prayer, whatever the reason might be, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all cloud in the
Lord's Supper has been left prepared, the emblems, for anyone who wasn't able to be here this morning. I believe Diane will be partaking, and I think everyone else here tonight was here this morning. So let's go to God on her behalf as we give thanks for the bread. Our God, our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day, this Lord's Day, Father, the day that Jesus Christ was resurrected some 2,100 years ago after he had died and was buried and resurrected, Father, to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and shed his precious blood and gave his life for the sins of mankind. And Father, we come tonight giving thanks for this bread on behalf of Sister Diane. Bless her as she eats this bread, thinks about Christ and his suffering and the great love he had for mankind and dying to be the propitiation for the sins of the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.